Devahuti's Lamentation, text 7. Ye me swadharma niratasya tapasamadhi vidyatma yoga vijita bhagavat prasada tan evite madanusevanaya varudhan drishtim prapashya vitaram yabhayana shokan. Translation. Kardama Muni continued, I have achieved the blessings of the Lord in discharging my own religious life of austerity, meditation, and Krishna consciousness. Although you have not yet experienced these achievements, which are free from fear and lamentation, I shall offer them all to you because you are engaged in my service. Now, just look at them. I am giving you the transcendental vision to see how nice they are. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devahuti engaged only in the service of Kardama Muni. She was not supposed to be so advanced in austerity, ecstasy, meditation, or Krishna consciousness, but imperceptibly, she was sharing her husband's achievements, which she could neither see nor experience. Automatically, she achieved these graces of the Lord. What are the graces of the Lord? It is stated here that the graces of the Lord are abhaya, free from fearfulness. In the material world, if someone accumulates $1 million, he's always full of fear because he's always thinking, what if the money is lost? But the benediction of the Lord, Bhagavat Prasada, is never to be lost. It is simply to be enjoyed. There is no question of loss. One simply gains and enjoys gaining. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this. When one achieves the grace of the Lord, the result is that sarva dukhani, all distresses, are destroyed. When situated in the transcendental position, one is freed from the two kinds of material diseases, hankering and lamentation. This is also stated in Bhagavad Gita. After devotional life begins, we can achieve the full result of love of Godhead. Love of Krishna is the highest perfection of Bhagavat Prasada, or divine mercy. This transcendental achievement is so greatly valuable that no material happiness can compare to it. Prabodhananda Saraswati said that if one achieves the grace of Lord Chaitanya, he becomes so great that he does not care a fig even for the demigods. He thinks of monism as hellish, and for him the perfection of controlling the senses is as easy as anything. Heavenly pleasures become to him no more than stories. Actually, there is no comparison between material happiness and transcendental happiness. By the grace of Kardama Muni, Devahuti experienced actual realization simply by serving. We get a similar example in the life of Narada Muni. In his previous life, Narada was a maidservant's son. that his mother was engaged in the service of great devotees. He got the opportunity to serve the devotees, and simply by eating the remnants of their foodstuff and carrying out their orders, he became so elevated that in his next life, he became the great personality Narada. For spiritual achievement, the easiest path is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and to serve him with heart and soul. That is the secret of success. As stated by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his 8 stanzas of prayer to the spiritual master, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada. By serving or receiving the grace of the spiritual master, one receives the grace of the Supreme Lord. By serving her devotee husband, Kardama Muni, Devahuti shared in his achievements. Similarly, a sincere disciple, simply by serving a bona fide spiritual master, can achieve all the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master simultaneously. Ye me svadharma niratasya tapasamadhi vidyatma yoga vijita bhagavat prasada tan eva te madanu sevanaya varudhan drishtim prapashya vataram yabhayana shoka. Kardama Muni continued, I have achieved the blessings of the Lord in discharging my own religious life of austerity, meditation, and Krishna consciousness. Although you have not experienced these achievements, which are free from fear and lamentation, I shall offer them all to you because you are engaged in my service. Now, just look at them. I am giving you the transcendental vision to see how nice they are. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Pudaya Shumati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tidavani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Vastrityade Shunarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lanchakalpacharubhyas jagripas sindhubhyevacha padidana bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Oh, it's okay. I didn't know that. Hare nice to be here with you all. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming, even from far distant places, like Ona came. We just happened to open the book here. Well, it was where the mark was. And what an outstanding verse and purport. It's just truly out of this world. It's out of this world anyway, but this is just in another dimension altogether. This is really so transcendentally profound and helpful, valuable to us as devotees, that Kardama Muni, he made great efforts in Krishna consciousness and in different aspects of Krishna consciousness. It was all within Krishna consciousness. He mentions he did austerity, he did meditation. And he performed his own duties, which basically refers to Varnashram. like that, those types of considerations. So he did all those things, and he worked hard, Kaudava Muni. He was not a lazy devotee, or a lazy fellow, or like that. He really made his best effort. Srila Prabhupada said that in our movement, there is no place for lazies or crazies. So, sincere people we're looking for. So he was like that, and he really made his best effort. And as a result, he became very advanced. And so advanced that the Supreme Personality of Godhead agreed to become his son. So, oh, that's something. He's really a lot more advanced than us. None of us have the Supreme Lord as our sons, do we? No. So that he did. The Lord agreed. The Lord offered to become his child, son. So that means he's a very special person. Devahuti, later on, at this point here, but considering all the what he did in order to come to that level of advancement, so it's later on, Devahuti became his wife. And she had not apparently made all those different types of efforts. Although she was not just some ordinary young lady who gets married to some ordinary young man. She was from a very, very advanced, a very wonderful family, but still, as Kaudama Muni acknowledges here in the verse, she had not done what he had done in terms of making all those efforts in Krishna consciousness. And as a result, she had not achieved what he had achieved in terms of experience of the advanced, what there is to be experienced when you become advanced in Krishna consciousness, particularly Bhagavat Prasada. That is the greatest thing. That special mercy of the Lord, but what is the greatest manifestation of that Bhagavat Prasada? The greatest manifestation, Prabhupada says here, is Krishna Prema. So she had not really achieved that and various other things which she had achieved. Even though she was a very good girl and highly cultured, yeah, but still she hadn't experienced those things. So what he is saying here, he's giving her some sort of transcendental vision. Just see, get a little insight. How valuable are these things which I have achieved? And he says that I'm going to offer them to you simply because you are engaged in my service. So now, this now is extremely important point. First point is, he made great efforts and great endeavors of austerity, meditation, etc., etc., following his duties as a Brahmin in terms of Varnashram, and surely many other things also. So he achieved that level of advancement. And, oh, that's really quite amazing. So, well done, Kaudama Muni. You made the effort and you got your result. But Devahuti is getting the same result just by serving Kaudama Muni. Just see. It is the easy route. Just see, the ladies are more fortunate than the men. That the men may make great efforts to advance in Krishna consciousness in so many ways. And along comes the wife, and she's a nice girl, probably, and something of a devotee, but by just serving her advanced husband, who's made that advancement through his strenuous efforts and endeavors in devotional service. So just by serving him in a simple way, just an honest, straightforward way, accepting the position of servant of the advanced devotee husband, she becomes as advanced without having to make all those big efforts of self-denial, all these austerities of not sleeping and not eating and not doing various things. So there you go, ladies. See, women are superior. Their position is superior in that sense. And, of course, for the disciple it's like that. Sincere disciple. Actually, Devahuti, she accepted the position of servant of Kardama Muni. Well, as a wife, but also more than just an ordinary wife. But she really became dedicated to him as a devotee. So in that sense, she accepted him as her spiritual master, at least, you know, in that sense, or to some significant degree. So therefore she is an example of a good wife, good devotee wife, benefiting from the advancement of her good devotee husband, and an example of a good disciple, benefiting as a result of the advancement or by the mercy of the spiritual master. Such very important example in different respects. So yes, we should really take this to heart, that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, of Krishna, of the spiritual master, of the advanced devotees, by that mercy, Bhagavad Prasada, even someone who's otherwise not qualified, or even unqualified, or even disqualified, can become very advanced in pure devotional service. And therein lies our hope. What do you say in French? Notre espoir.
Espoir.
Okay. Therein lies our hope. Because otherwise, what is our hope? You know, even our wonderful devotee husbands sitting here, the majority of you are devotee husbands. But in terms of qualification through following Varnashram, austerity, meditation, in Kali Yuga there's not so much there, really. So again, it comes back to somehow getting that mercy of the Lord, of the spiritual master. So yes, we are very dependent personalities, and success in Krishna consciousness involves necessarily realizing And realizing our dependent position, realizing that we're not independent, and then acting in on the basis of that realization in a dependent way. And then all success can be there, even for people who otherwise you would not expect to be successful in terms of advancement in spiritual life and achieving what is otherwise achieved by austerity, meditation, yoga practice, and resolute determination in prescribed duty. Prabhupada mentions in the purport, very clear and well-known example of Narada Muni. When Narada Muni is a 5-year-old boy, there was no austerity really. There was no meditation. There was no varnashram. His mother was a maidservant, a sudrani. So what sort of qualification would you expect from a young boy, 5 years old, and whose mother is just a sudra? What sort of qualification would you expect? You wouldn't expect. But those Bhaktivedantas came and spent the rainy season there, and little 5-year-old Narada served them very nicely. And he even asked them, "Can I eat the remnants of your foodstuffs?" And they blessed him and said yes. And because they were so pleased with all the different efforts he made as this, you can just imagine a 5-year-old boy, little sweet little boy, cute little boy, rendering service, as a 5-year-old, it must have been difficult for him to do things nicely because 5-year-olds are just not competent psychologically or physically to function and do things efficiently, etc. But as a little child, he did his best. And surely they must have felt so pleased and we can imagine they were there for 4 months, and he was doing this every day, and he was around all day every day for 4 months. They must have from time to time talked to each other, "What a nice little boy he is," and "Did you see how he did this and that?" And then sharing like this, these warm. So like this, their mood of mercy towards him was strongly aroused. And they didn't express it so much. They said he could eat the remnants of their food, which indicates they didn't just offer him the remnants of the food. "Here, take this." No. He had to ask them, and then they agreed. So it appears they were themselves a little reserved, perhaps, in how they just openly expressed their appreciation like that. But so really, just because they felt it within their hearts, "What a nice boy," and therefore they're praying to Krishna, "Please be merciful to this child." So as Prabhupada mentions here, as the Bhagavatam describes, on the basis of that, he became the great advanced devotee, Narada Muni. Just on the basis of their well wishes. In fact, in Nectar of Devotion, you'll see there's one part, where is it? all you great BCEC authorities and chariots of Shastra. But there's a section, isn't it, at the end of one of the chapters about Bhava. Am I right? One of the two chapters. How different devotees came to the level, because as hopefully all of you know, you can come to the level of Bhava by different means. One is just through sadhana bhakti, but one is by the blessings and mercy, the mercy of the devotees or Krishna. And there it's explained, Prabhupada explains, that that mercy is expressed in different ways. It can be just by glancing. It can be just by words. It can be just by heartfelt wishes. Right. So, and a number of examples are given there of people who came to the level of Radha through receiving mercy in these different forms. And if I remember correctly, Narada Muni is also mentioned there. So simply through their heartfelt well wishes, Narada Muni became very advanced. So, well, just see. This is how Krishna consciousness works. And none of us should be too quick to think that whatever progress I may arguably or possibly have made, you know, which could just be that I'm still a member of this God after some years, and I haven't just, despite everything, all my shortcomings, I haven't just gone back to material existence. But whatever it may be, really the main factor in it is too quick to think that the main factor is my efforts and my qualifications and me in different ways. Because it's not the case. The main factor is always the mercy. Just like when there's a partnership in Krishna consciousness, in the sense of we have to make the effort, some effort, at least as much as we can. And the other part is Krishna's mercy. So there's some, these two factors have to be there. Just like in a business partnership, you may own 49% and the other person owns 51%, but because they own 51%, they can do whatever they like. Yes, isn't it? Because you with your 49%, you can never outvote them. They'll always have 100% control just through having 51% of the ownership. I mean, for what it's worth, this is the difference between democracy and other forms of, well, dictatorial forms of government, like just plain dictatorship, a monarchy, or, you know, these are different forms of dictatorship, is mercy. And we should be, with only 51% of the control, you have 100% of the control. Just see. Very clever. It's actually a dictatorship. Yeah. Democracy means a dictatorship. Yeah. But in such a way that people generally don't understand it's a dictatorship. They think they're part of it. Anyway, that's just by the way. So in this partnership, as Krishna says, yayatamam prapajyante tamsatayva vajamyaham, as they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. So, but it's not a 50-50 arrangement. No. Prabhupada expressed it, made it clear how it really works more when he said, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. This is really more how it works in terms of proportion, the formula for whatever success may have been there already in your life in Krishna consciousness, which, you know, at least I keep seeing your faces every time I come, so I guess you're still members of this congregation. Anyway, you're very nice. But still, the main factor is the mercy. And Prabhupada said that you take one step, Krishna takes 10 steps. But it may also sometimes be you take half a step and he takes 100 steps. It is not really subject to just formula as such. But the principle is like that. But our part, our side of the relationship is not strong. But Krishna's part of the relationship, of the partnership, is extremely strong. You know, just consider that any time that we, just in the backs of our minds, any time that any one of us ever contemplates doing something which isn't Krishna conscious, like a material desire comes up, some attraction, some material attraction. Any time that ever happens, what does it mean? It means we're cheating on Krishna. We're opting out of our side of the relationship. Actually, really, it means we're slapping Krishna in the face. Actually. That's what it really means. Just like husband and wife, if either one of them starts entertaining some other person, then even though the partner may not be aware, but really what they're doing is slapping the person in the face. Isn't it? It's really, you know, it's extremely rude and just extremely bad. But despite that, Krishna never does anything like that. Krishna's always there 100% for us, even though we're only there to a much smaller extent, smaller percent for him. So mercy is the point I'm getting at here, is that Bhagavad Prasada, that point of mercy, is always a bigger feature, a bigger factor in whatever our success may be in Krishna consciousness than our own efforts and qualification and like that. And we should be very mindful of that. And as a result, we should be very grateful for that. And Srila Prabhupada said that you can never repay the debt to the spiritual master or to Krishna. You can never repay the debt. It doesn't mean that you should think that, well, I can never repay it, so what's the point of trying? Just a waste of time. At the end, even though I made so much effort, I'll still be hopelessly in debt. Better just give up already. No, but still, we should make our best effort. But still, at the end of the day or the end of our life, even though we have made our very best effort, but we will not have settled that debt in any significant way at all. We'll still be totally in debt. And in one sense, the more you advance and the more, or you could say, the more mercy you get, and therefore you advance, the more you become indebted. So you're just in a sense, in a process of going more into debt, the more you try to get out of debt. So these are nice perspectives to have on ourselves and our situations and the spiritual master in Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and like this. Very nice perspectives because they're true. That's the first thing. First thing is they're true. And any other perspective is just some type of misconception or even hallucination. Yeah. So we see Lord Chaitanya, he's Patita Pavan. As Naritadas Thakur sings, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. You are Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the fallen. And this is the reason, this is why you've descended. And Mosamo Patita Prabhu Napaibeya. And me, I am the most fallen. So my claim for your mercy must come first. You must give me mercy first. In your capacity as Patita Pavana. So, yes. So, of course, Naritadas Thakur, he's great Acharya and great, one of the foremost devotees, eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually, who simply descended to give his mercy. We are not. We did not descend. We fell. Falling is a type of descending, but it's the worst type of descending. There's good descending and bad descending. Falling is the worst type. Free fall. You know, off the roof, free fall, how would that be? But you can come down from the roof. You can descend nicely also by the stairs. But you free fall. You descended, but that's not the way to descend. And you get severely damaged. So we fell into this material world and we're in this damaged, permanently damaged condition. You know, we read about different hellish planets, and I think it's there in the fifth canto, last chapter. There's one hellish planet where you have a body which is very sensitive. You know, just a little pressure, and oh, you feel pain. So you have this body which is highly sensitive, but somehow it is constructed in such a way that to actually kill it is really hard. And then they throw you off a cliff. Down the bottom, it looks like there's waves, there's some water. But then as you're falling, you see it's rocks. And your body gets, and you just get smashed. Your highly sensitive body gets smashed, but you don't die. Then they take you up to the top again and do it again. And they just carry on. Isn't that serious? That's right. I guess people who torture people and hurt people. You know, maybe even people who psychologically torment people, press people's buttons, the wrong buttons, just psychologically disturb people So anyway, but we're actually in that condition. We are not dying, but we're suffering. I mean, as spiritual entities, we're not dying. We live again, but we're going through all the suffering. So, So yes, this is a very important perspective to have on ourselves, to understand that whatever progress I may have made, and certainly there's a lot more progress which needs to be made. So however I got to this position, it was by mercy particularly. And to get from here to where I need to go, I'm going to need a lot more mercy to be really fixed in that consciousness and in that humble mood of the servant. Then this is what we need to do. Really be in the mood of the servant. And then we become like receptacles which can receive the mercy as it descends. Yes. Otherwise, if we start thinking, yes, you know, I'm complete myself. I don't need this input of mercy. I'm strong. I'm fixed up. You see how staunch and strict I am. And as a result, I'm making progress. Then you become less of a receptacle. You know, as it is said sometimes, it is very hard to help people who are perfect. Which means, ultimately, or in this context, it is very hard to help people who think they're perfect because they don't feel they need help. And help is such a thing. You need to be receptive to be able to receive it. Otherwise, you know, you become like either sort of impervious. You think you're strong, you're impervious to the challenges, and therefore by your strength you can stand up to anything. But now you've also become impervious to the mercy. It just bounces off. Yeah. So that receptivity, that humble mood of the servant, means that now we're becoming receptive. We can receive the mercy, which is what we need. So we should just try to become good receptacles for mercy. Like Prabhupada gave the example actually of a glass. That if you fill a glass up, then you can try and pour more into it, but no more is going to go into it. It can only remain the same. But if the cup is empty, then you can pour in so much. So we need to be like receptacles, so we can receive that mercy. And what is that? Well, what does it mean to be a receptacle for the grace of the Lord? It means first and foremost to be in that humble mood of service and prayer, of really taking shelter and really feeling in a genuine and heartfelt way, feeling the need for mercy and shelter. This is such an important part of Krishna consciousness. But on the other hand, of course, because we're conditioned souls, one of the main, if not the main, certainly one of the main qualifications or characteristics of the conditioned soul is that through independence, apparent independence, through doing their own thing or apparently doing their own thing, standing up for themselves and making their own headway in this material world. This very fundamental factor of material consciousness, through this, they're not inclined to be receptive to mercy, or to feel they need mercy. Seriously, feel they need mercy. So this is a challenge for us. I actually remember one time, I don't know if I've mentioned it here, quite likely have, it's very an experience which made quite an impact on my mind. We had just finished a Govardhan Parikrama, or almost finished. We had started just outside Radhakund village and then gone around. Now we had arrived at Radhakund. So, you know, it's perhaps a kilometer to go. So we sat down on the banks of Radhakund, and I thought, we did it again. Another Govardhan Puja. And just sort of patting myself on the back, well done, you did it again. At that very instant, there was some sound system around the whole Radhakund Chandakund. At that very instant, I mean that very second, from that loudspeaker system around the entire Radhakund Chandakund, came a voice, Yasya Prasadad Bhagavad Prasadad, Yasya Prasadad, Yasya Aprasadad Nagati Kutopi, etc. And I thought, wow, wait a minute. It's a message. It's a message from above. And you might think, you know, walking around Govardhan Hill, what's it got to do with mercy? It's got to do with, you've got to be a little physically fit, etc. Things of that sort. But no, 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 no. No, no. The main thing, you can be physically fit. In your first step, you may kick a rock, and that's the end of your physical fitness for walking. That's the end. Wow. Or some, you know, cartilage suddenly becomes straight. I also had that experience. Some cartilage got strained, and I just had to drag one leg around Govardhan Hill. Somehow we made it, but my Lord, it was not pleasant. Anyway, so yes, different examples are there, and we should understand that in terms of the balance between my efforts and my own input, and the input from mercy, we should understand the input from mercy is far greater. And without it, even with our greatest efforts, we can never be successful. This point is also made in Nectar of Devotion, you great Bhakti Shastri Acharyas, I'm sure will remember, that when there's a discussion of what the six characteristics of pure devotional service, the final one is that, what's the final one? Yeah, it's the only way to attract Krishna. And Prabhupada makes the point that, you know, this is so important because even though you have to make your effort, but Krishna can never be achieved simply by effort, simply by sadhana or your own effort. Only through pure devotional service can Krishna become attracted. So ultimately that factor of mercy is that Kripa Shakti is the king of all the energies of Krishna. His mercy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that in Madhurya Kadamani. Krishna has so many energies, but the Kripa Shakti is the topmost energy. So, good on you, wives. You have all opportunity. You have more opportunity. You know, talk about women's liberation. This is women's super liberation. That you share in your husband's advancement. Plus, you know, whatever efforts you make, you also get that benefit. So, you know, the husband gets Krishna's mercy, the spiritual master's mercy. Very good. Well done, husband. The wife gets Krishna's mercy, spiritual master's mercy, and husband's mercy. Aha! It's a better position. So really the bottom line is that all of us have to really take that position as the humble servants, as the humble disciples. And then we'll get the grace. Prabhupada mentions the grace. What are the graces of the Lord? So, first grace is abhaya. Become free from fearfulness. Last or ultimate grace, Krishna prema. Yes. Six characteristics of pure devotional service. You get free from all material anxieties immediately, all material distresses, plus your life becomes auspicious. Right from the beginning. And ultimately, Krishna prema. So these are the graces of the Lord. From the first step, getting free from that, the nastiness of the material experience. That's the first installment of grace. Prabhupada said, peace of mind is the first installment of experience in Krishna consciousness. And final installment, pure Krishna prema. Hare Krishna. So let us be very mindful of these things. Any comments or questions? Yes.
I have a question, Maharaj. The lecture was wonderfully explained through seed birth, purport, and your import, Maharaj. At times we have a situation which I have this experience, especially with Your Holiness. At the time you were Brahmachari, White House, 1983, installation of the Lordship Sisi Radha Golokananda.
Yes.
When you came with all delegations from South Africa to help set up deity installation. So the situation was where I was helping in holding a step ladder.
Oh.
I was holding a step ladder and Maharaj was up, like trying to tie whatever service has to be done. So somehow or other, because that was in 1983, I was still like very new to some extent. There was a standard in Mauritius at that time, maybe still prevailing, where whenever we try and get an opportunity to take mercy from an advanced devotee. We just, like, without asking permission, it happened to me. And we just, like, you know, put our hand to the lotus feet of that devotee and put it on our head. Without requesting, asking, begging, preparing ourselves. So, what I did, I saw your lotus feet right at my level, at the level of my head. So what I did, I don't know whether you remember that, Maharaj, here you will recollect that. I just put my head on your shoes, the free-toe shoes. Yes, I just put it, and you notice that. You notice that. Then you asked me, at the time my name was, I think, Mukunda Krishna, and you asked me, what are you doing, Mukunda Krishna? And I said, Prabhu, Your Grace, I'm taking mercy from your lotus feet. Then you corrected me. You said, that's not the way to do it. Then everything stopped at that, because you were busy and everyone was busy. I never got the proper answer, but later on I knew, and now I'm knowing more. So now the question is, this type of so-called getting mercy, how does it really help one, the recipient? Because it's not two-way traffic. It's just like getting without being ready for that. So would you comment on that, Maharaj?
Well, generally, whenever we can get the mercy, we should get it. The only time there could be some negative connotations or implications would be if the person who we have just sort of unilaterally taken mercy from becomes disturbed. You know, feels offended. Because, you know, if someone feels offended, it's real. You cannot just say that, oh, well, you know, I got the mercy, and so it doesn't matter. You got some mercy that is not really nullified if the person becomes angry or disturbed. But you also, there are consequences if a devotee becomes angry or disturbed with you. Of course, at that time, you were holding the ladder. So if you had not supported me, I would have fallen down. And it would have been a problem. So you are very merciful.
Very good. The real kick on me, Maharaj.
Very interesting point.
Yeah. There is another part, Maharaj, if you allow me. Now, this verse, purport, and your vivid explanation fully shows that on service, a wife serving the proper husband in very Krishna conscious, serving the spiritual master and Prabhupada movement, whatever it is, there is reciprocation, and the wife gets that mercy,
right,
and make full benefit or maximum benefit. So there is situations wherein, like the husband, devotee husband, somehow or other, have some difficulty, in his own practice, you know. And where it's, as you say, it may affect the wife also. So, in that, what would be your advice to the wife and to the husband? Because the wife is dependent on the mercy of the husband in serving him. So, if there is a situation, as I say, where the benefit from the husband, I mean, whatever mercy, it's not the same.
Right.
So what should be done?
Well, there is a verse, it's in the ninth canto, about how the wife should serve the husband who is not fallen. You may be familiar with that. And Prabhupada goes into some detail about what does it mean that he's not fallen. What's the difference between being fallen and not fallen? And Prabhupada, basically the standard Prabhupada applies is that not being fallen would include following the regulative principles. Yeah, in simple terms. So, really the point there is, in particular, that the wife should not leave the husband unless he really becomes fallen. Even if he's, you know, not doing so well, but he's not really just fallen in an objective sense, then the wife should continue serving the husband and she'll benefit from that. And of course, you know, if she's a serious devotee, she's continuing her own practices nicely, so she'll get benefit and mercy from that anyway. But of course, you know, the whatever mercy could come from the husband or via the husband, if he is not doing well, then there's less mercy going to be coming via him. But she shouldn't really abandon him unless he becomes really fallen. I mean, in practical terms, even we, I think, generally say that she shouldn't abandon him unless it becomes dangerous, like if there's physical violence or things of that sort. Yeah. You know, Prabhupada's sister, her husband was not really a devotee. She was initiated, but he was a meat eater and fish eater and all that. But she stuck with him. Yeah. So yeah, unless it's dangerous. If it's dangerous physically, I mean, even, you know, you get some of these, I don't know why they do it, but why some of them at least, even though they're getting beaten up sometimes, they still stay with the husband. What can you say? But at least according to Shastra, they don't have to. But, you know, the reception of mercy depends on the transparency, how much is being conducted through the person you're receiving it from. So certainly it makes a difference. How well the husband is doing will influence how much mercy the wife gets. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Hare Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki jai. Thank you very much. So, how much will get your association during your stay in Mauritius? When you would be leaving Maharaj?
I'm leaving on the 6th evening. And I come back on the 16th morning of November.
November.
16th November.
Yeah.
From here you will be down for
Karthi. No, I'm going to Mumbai for the meeting.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Then on 21st we leave for Karikrama.